Yeah, I'm gender critical too, bitch. I'm critical of fucking shady cis people.
Yeah. Yeah. Hello, and welcome to...
What Are Y'all Mad About Today?
A show where we mull over memes, magazines, and mommy milkers.
Hi, I'm Weston. My pronouns are they, he, and I'm a child trapped in an adult body.
I'm Easton. I use she, her pronouns. I'm recently and reluctantly 29, and I got a new birth control implant today.
And our special guest is back with us again today.
My name's Ivy. During the release of these episodes, I started going by a different name. Ivy, that's me. I'm a she, they type of trans girl, and I'm passionate about video games and audiobooks and most nerd stuff like board games and shit like that, and also dismantling harmful institutions and ideas.
What can you expect from this podcast? I'm glad you asked. This is a show where we take trending topics that piss people off and break them down, hopefully in an accessible and fun way. Easton, what are we talking about today?
So, today, after much setup, we are going to learn about Jean Hatchett's Clappin' Titties, which she wrote about in The Critic magazine. But first, a recap.
Last episode, in part two, we defined women according to TERFs. Here is our running list so far. We have, you must be an adult human female. You must be transphobic. You must have no negative opinions about titties. You must absolutely have no cosmetic surgery. It is imperative that you smile and enjoy with your heart when you see photos of other TERFs. And most importantly, you better fucking hide periods, menopause, orgasms, and body hair from all men. Only talk about it with women, and it has to be fucking hilarious.
And we talked about how J.K. Rowling herself doesn't meet the requirement for no cosmetic procedures. We also learned that the offending tweeter who sparked this whole transphobic tirade is a cis straight woman.
We established the rules and regulations of the trans Illuminati and discovered a brave group of super secret women who laugh with their smiles or whatever.
Oh, and a quick note before we get back in, another little axe of mine to grind. We mentioned proletarian feminists, quote unquote, in this episode. I want to add that proletarian feminism is, in my opinion, just radical feminism remixed with some Marxist word salad on top of the bioessentialism. And people who are very online saw one of these recently out herself as a TERF. This is Comrade Bridget, who other podcasts have platformed.
Cough Rev Left Radio Cough.
And it shouldn't be a huge shock. They don't really differentiate themselves from rad femmes in substance. And I think all the criticisms here of radical feminism apply to them, too. Hopefully, we'll get to talk about that more in upcoming episodes.
All right, y'all, here we go. More wild shit coming right up.
Who wants to take the next quote?
Ooh, I do.
Sorry, I just want to, like, give context. India Willoughby is a trans woman and an activist.
Okay. Oh, okay. Is this...
These British terms hate.
Is this the person that did the tweet?
Oh, no, that's a different person. And this is a different tweet.
Oh, okay.
India Willoughby went further and tweeted about one of the photos featuring a well-known and well-loved lesbian woman named Leanne. Here's J.K. Rowling meeting fellow members of the GC movement today.
GC stands for gender critical, a euphemism for TERF.
Not being funny, but how come I'd be banned because my presence would traumatize women and not the women on the right?
In the next paragraph, she says that that tweet actually meant that trans women's bodies rank above butch lesbians in, quote, some strange hierarchy of Willoughby's imagining. The inherent lesbophobia of the comment is striking and shocking, but we know that this hatred and envy of women lies at the heart of the trans activist movement, end quote. And oh my fucking God, the gaslighting is so blatant.
I know, it's so
Oh, it's rough. So for reference, the woman on the right in this reference is the woman in the brunch selfies or the brunch photos, the one that had the
exactly
not lesbian, not queer shirt on. Mm-hmm. And I believe so. Okay. So India Willoughby is like, there's a large spectrum of gay folks and this person is butch, mm-hmm. right? You know, like there's some gender fuckery going on there. Like even if it's, if that person doesn't realize it or doesn't identify with that or whatever, like, you know, that's a thing that happens,
that's
which
okay
is like,
cause she's a TERF.
Right. Exactly. Cause she's part of the group. She's been accepted mm-hmm. or whatever, but I think it's okay because she identifies as cis. Yeah. Right. And so like,
definitely.
But it's a good question. Like these sort of like, I think what it's trying to highlight is the arbitrary lines that are drawn here for these TERFs. Like, it's like, you know, there's a lot and we all have a lot in common, right? Like it's not, these divisions don't make any sense, I guess, is kind of what I'm understanding mm-hmm. about this.
Yeah. So she is talking about lesbophobia and, trans women thinking they rank above butch lesbians, as if trans women can't be lesbians and can't be butch, but like, oh yeah. Fucking K.
I definitely know some butch mm-hmm. trans lesbians.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Right.
But even worse, she fucking claims that India Willoughby imagined the hierarchy, and then she literally just says, well, trans women are jealous, just like the other tweet pointed out. And it's so blatant. She's saying, you just imagine this thing that I am doing right fucking now in the same exact sentence. Like,
yeah.
Ooh, it's so fucked up. I hate it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Literally doing the thing and then being like, I can't believe this person did that thing that's not acceptable. And it's like, well, first of all, this person didn't do that thing. But you did. Mm-mm. So what? I'm sorry. Excuse me?
Yeah, how dare she think I do the thing that I'm doing right now? And I'm sorry for the image, but she is just like sloshing around in her own bullshit, like so heavily.
She
oh
is.
My God. What an asshole.
Thoroughly yeah. coated.
It's, you know, it's that diaper. Ugh. It can't hold it all. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, like really though, these people like it's just like so cringy, like cringe island. What'd you call it? Cringe society. What is it called?
Cringetopia.
Cringetopia. Yeah. It's just like,
yeah,
this.
These denizens of Cringetopia.
Right. So indoctrinated and like so high on their own bullshit.
Secret warriors.
That they like with a straight face will do the thing that they claim to be railing against and then blame it on trans women. And it's like, no, you're literally, you just did that like 30 seconds ago. And like now you're blaming trans women for the thing that you do. Like it's so thin. It's so fucked.
She does the thing, says the thing is made up, and then does the thing a fucking again in the same sentence. Like,
right. Cool. Good one, Jean. Good one.
Yeah.
Nice.
So y'all want to know what makes it even worse?
Yeah.
It gets worse still?
Yeah. Oh.
You weren't joking.
I've got like another page of getting worse.
Oh, God. Okay.
But this example gets worse because smack in between those two quotes we just talked about, she tells you exactly why people would be threatened by Liana the Butch TERF, and it's not fucking lesbophobia. Like, we already pointed out her shirt that she wears fucking everywhere. She points out that she posed for an iconic photograph outside the Women's Place UK conference in January 2020, where she's clearly at a queer demonstration that is like pro-trans, and she's in her shirt like, fuck you guys, lesbian, not queer.
What?
And okay, queer women aren't supposed to be fucking threatened by that. Worse than that, she's a head of security. She's a fucking cop light.
Oh my
like,
God.
Why wouldn't a lot of women feel threatened by her?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, oh, what the fuck hell? You. And she just makes up like lesbophobia as if she's not fucking horribly queer phobic. Like,
yeah.
Right.
Ugh.
Also, right, like nothing about that tweet from India Willoughby suggests to me that there's any sort of lesbophobia going on. It's crying wolf.
No, it's all made up.
Right. It's just crying wolf. That's what it is. It's just.
Yeah, I mean, but then that's also like, you know, straight ally trying to come up with, like, how can I
lend more credibility to my shitty argument?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, they're trying so hard. Like, just not to, they're trying so hard to not talk about, like, certain things. You know what I mean? Like, they don't address the lady's shirt. Like, she has nothing to say about Leanne's shirt. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You know?
Even as she's, like, puffing her chest out and trying to make it so obvious, Jean Hatchett is like, oh, I can't see that. I just see a beautiful butch woman in her smile.
Yeah. And if, right. You know, if her friends turn around and do the things that the trans woman she's targeting are doing, she wouldn't say anything about it. You know what I mean?
Of course not.
Right. Yeah. Or the trans woman, what she's claiming the trans women she's targeting are doing, I think is an important distinction to make.
Yes.
You're
right.
Yeah.
But I knew that's what you meant to say, but true. I think it's important to like.
Thank you. Oh, I just want to say that on India Willoughby's Twitter, her little bio says broadcaster, presenter, world's first trans newsreader, loose woman. I think that is awesome.
Yeah, that rules.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, I mean, I think a hallmark of this kind of shit, like same as it was with the free speech debate crowd. Now we have the TERF crowd. And there is a stark and concerning lack of internal reflection, self-criticism, like any sort of willingness to take a look at oneself. Like it's never, ever, ever mentioned, or it's never, ever, ever even broached the subject of like, well, maybe like here's what we do, and maybe this is stuff we could do better. And like, but I've read so many articles
they're the victims.
But I've actually read so many articles by people on the left that, well, they will, even if it's not in depth, because it's not necessarily what the article is about, but they will acknowledge that, like, we have some of these issues on our communities. Like there are issues like that like, I've so many articles I've read, and this is not a scientific measurement, but I know that I see this fairly often where it's like, yes, we have issues. We have things we need to deal with. And I think on the left, it's sort of, because let's be clear, TERFdom is very much to the right, politically.
Yeah.
But
But they're pro-abortion liberals.
Kiss my ass, right? But something that like I do think you see on like the left, or like the left that like, okay, how do I want to say this? Because this is actually important. Because there is a left, so I think it's important to say that there is no coherent leftist movement in this country. It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And that's a shame.
There's like several disparate pockets of movements. Yeah.
Right. But there's no left in this country. Right.
Right.
Like these fuckheads would have you believe, or whatever. These assholes would have you believe.
Like Bosch would have
there's
you believe.
There's no Illuminati Council.
Yeah. Right. And so when I say
there's
on
not a
the
bunch
left,
of bread tubers meeting in a dark room somewhere.
Right. And so when I say on the left, let me be very clear. What I mean is like people with intersectional analysis, people out here doing the work, people out here who their main motivation is like the liberation of all peoples, not furthering their own agenda. Now, there are leftists who do further their own agenda, especially like a lot of like white cis Marxists are particularly difficult to deal with sometimes, and the like white cis anarchists men a lot of these people can be tough to deal with. So when I say the left, I mean people who have that deeper intersectional analysis, that you know, kind of thing. So I think it's important to sort of pop out and say
people who actually give a shit about like abolition, like bringing people of their bondage, like dismantling the patriarchy, and like in a, like a in a way that isn't just creating like some kind of power vacuum or like not not fixing things.
And all that to say
is that a core component of that ideology, of my ideology, of I would say, I would go so far as to say our ideology, which is nuanced and varied, and I'm sure that we differ on some things, but not probably not much. But all that to say is that like a crucial component of that is a critical lens on oneself.
Mm-hmm.
And the
yes.
capacity and want to grow and learn and change and mm-hmm. always get better about the way that you see the world and how you apply it.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. I have no interest in being a part of a movement that doesn't include like self-reflection and holding that movement accountable for any kind of fuck ups and like constantly improving versus just being like, oh, we're always right. Those guys are the ones who are wrong.
Yeah.
Fuck that shit. That's not doing anything.
Right.
Yeah. And
nothing good.
Right. Yeah. I feel like true progress or true like justice has nothing to do with like being right or wrong. It's like about helping people live. You know what I mean? It's like not about whether or not your ideology is correct. It's like whether your praxis is doing anyone any good.
Yeah, it's not a fucking team sport shit.
Yeah, it's not a culture war. It's mm-hmm. people's lives.
Yes.
It's like literally life or death for people.
Right. It is not. Yes. I love that. Thank you for.
Absolutely.
I hate the phrase culture war.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's. Oh, it's awful. Yeah.
There's a good Citations Needed episode about that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Shout out to Citations Needed.
I do have one other side comment. I want to know what the fuck Brits have against commas, because this shit is so full of run-on sentences. And it, for me, it just makes it more tedious to read. But
no, I'm like, does old Hatchet have like a English degree? Like, I don't know. Like, what is this person's qualifications? Not that like, not to say that, academic qualifications or any kind of like standard or end all be all of like your level of competency or anything like that, because it's absolutely not. But I'm just like, I feel like everything about this person is just like, I just got into this to get into it because I have a lot of strong opinions, you know. Fuck grammar, fuck everybody except for
fuck facts,
the secret little society of women who talk about menopause and orgasms,
fuck reality,
right? This is where we were talking about this actually in the last series of episodes, where it's like, it's not about it's not about being right, it's not about doing good work, it's not about anything except for like, hey, that's a club that I want to be a part of. I want to be a part of the club. I want to be on the in crowd. I want to be in on this because that's what I choose to do. I think that's the motivator for a lot of these people, where it's like, I want to be part of that club and I'll do whatever it takes to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, when I was younger and Weston first sort of opened my eyes, I like, you know, I like made a lot of friends and like got into these like groups or Discord servers or whatever. And I was like really eager and found out that those people sucked. That like, that's shitty. Like, and I was like, okay, well, this is not worth it for me just to be like a part of like whatever community. Like,
mm-hmm.
right.
But yeah, a lot of it was motivated by that for me in the beginning. And now I'm like, now I'm very much focused on like, what?
Yeah. I have a similar experience of like that kind of thing too.
Though, like regarding her qualifications, I don't want to make it just a her problem, because this is in a magazine that like theoretically has an editor, so it's like I don't know if it's like the whole country of the UK like on some weird grammar shit or that magazine, or I have no idea, but it annoys me on top of all this other shit.
So
I don't even know what we're talking about. That's how much, that's how little I like know or care about grammar. Like, I have no idea what you're fucking talking about right now.
I'm
no, it's fine. I'm just like
yeah, I'm pretty bad at grammar.
My brain like shorts out on run-out sentences.
Oh, okay. Is that what's happening? Yeah, I wasn't paying attention.
Definitely makes
to that.
Things a lot more easy to read if it's like got some grammar involved.
Yeah. So then the next quote, she is talking about a scar from a cancer operation. This is her little spiel about her scar.
If I were to show that scar openly on Twitter, the shaming from trans women would be immediate, I suspect. There's more, but this is, by her own admission, pure fucking conjecture. and has no basis in reality.
Yeah, I suspect is doing a lot of heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Yep.
I suspect. So right okay. up the top, this is irrelevant. All right.
She admits it, yeah.
The shaming from trans women would be immediate, I suspect. The realities of life as a female are too ugly to comprehend. A body that has suffered is a body that has failed. It is broken.
What? What?
There's so much.
Also,
there.
Like, no one believes this.
Yeah, I sure fucking don't.
Well,
it's like
Hatchet does.
Yeah.
I don't even think Hatchet does. I think this is more.
I think this is
more rhetoric that is meant to elicit emotional response and has exactly. no substance to it.
Yeah. And it is literally completely made up victimization. Like,
yeah, this is.
But what if people were mean to me? Man, this life is so hard for me.
Right. Like the only place that this idea comes from is like larger systems of misogyny that are built into capitalism. Right. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know a single trans woman. I know a lot of trans women. I don't know a single trans woman that would give a shit about this lady's scars.
I have a ton of stretch marks.
Right.
I call my stretch marks little lightning bolts.
Oh, nice.
You.
Something that stuck out to me is like when I think about pride and showing scars post-surgery, I think about the trans community. I think about trans men who are like very like proud of top surgery scars and shit and like wear them proudly, show them off. I feel like cis women tend to be a lot shittier to each other about scars. Like, where is she getting this shit from?
Yeah. Well, she's getting a turf brunch.
Well, she wasn't invited, Weston.
Oh, sorry, Jean. Didn't mean to rub it in. Yeah. Say it again.
Jean wasn't invited.
Poor lady. In their exclusive world that she imagines, like, cis women are never shitty to each other, which just, like, does not fucking reflect reality.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that also, I think, is a good example of her creating a hierarchy for herself.
Yeah.
That, and because she only runs in cis lady spaces or whatever, like, this is mm-hmm. has to be a big part of where she's getting this from. Which again is more internalized misogyny, which again is like, yes. you're creating hierarchies for yourself. You're creating a prison of your own making here mm-hmm. where it's like, no one's like, trans women aren't putting this on you. Trans people don't give a shit. Like,
yeah. Like arguably cis men are, but not fucking trans women.
Right. Like it can be argued cis men. Fuck off. This does sound like something a cis man might do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Does not sound like something a trans Your average trans person would do.
Yeah. Your average trans.
It's such a bizarre thing to make up.
Yeah.
I do also want to point out the whole, a body that has suffered is a body that has failed. It is broken in the eyes of these people more vulnerable than me. Like, typical fucking middle class cis white woman to assume that she suffers more than anyone else.
Right.
Like, fuck out of here. Like, what the fuck do you know about, like, clearly she knows more than anyone about suffering,
right?
Bodily suffering.
I think it's also important to pop on and say, like, there's no such thing as being a broken person.
Yeah,
there's no such thing. This concept is so harmful and it doesn't fucking exist. Like, there's no possible way that you can, like, there's nothing, like, mm-hmm. you can't be inherently broken. Like, broken suggests that there is something wrong with you or you have, like, you as a being are broken. Like, you are no longer a worthy vessel for something, I guess, in this case. It would be your life. And that's not true. That's never going to be true. So, mm-hmm. also, this rhetoric is...
Yeah, it's capitalist
logic. It's capitalist logic, right. Exactly, because it means that, like, you're no longer productive, and therefore...
Mm-hmm. Treating people like machines.
Yep, yeah, and therefore have no value, right? Which is just simply not true.
Yeah, it's super ableist.
Yes.
So also wrapped up in this, we have this sort of, I don't know, just really harmful language that it's like, I don't even know what, how to categorize it necessarily, but it's like, it's wrapped up in like shitty takes on mental health. It's wrapped up in,
body shaming,
body shaming, victim blaming, right? Like all of this kind of stuff where it's like,
ableism.
So like through your own, analysis, through trying to portray yourself as the victim, you are also then
victimizing other people.
Using harmful rhetoric and language, huh?
Like turning other people into victims, like traumatizing the people who are reading this. Yeah, just how dramatic that line is. A body that has suffered is a body that has failed. It is broken. Like,
no one fucking said that. She said it. It's so shitty.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, is she saying that's the kind of take that trans women will have if she posts the scar? I was reading it again and I was really confused.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah, that's what she's saying.
I was like, is she saying that for sure? Or is she saying that, like, trans women are going to treat her that way? That trans women, by and large, by their nature, are ableist and are it's so backwards.
It's so, but ableist is the way to categorize it. That's what it is. It's ableist as fuck.
Yeah, but her made up quote proves that other people are shitty in all these ways. Her words reflect on other people somehow.
Right. Also, side note, I want to just quickly shout out anybody living with chronic pain or anything like that. Like, I see you out there, like, doing the best you can. Chronic pain. I have chronic pain. Chronic pain fucking sucks. A lot of people I know have chronic pain, and I love you, and I'm here for you, and, like, that shit is terrible, and I see you, and I don't listen to this fucking TERF, all right?
Yeah.
You're doing a great job.
Don't listen to her. Great job. Don't think about her. Don't look at her.
Right.
Don't breathe the air that she breathes.
Yeah.
So I put the next short quote in the chat.
Oh, when women show each other our bodies, we do it with pride, love, and humor.
What a fucking lie.
Stop it. It's so obnoxious.
Right.
Try hard ass feminists.
Are these the same women that is telling you that your body is broken for having scars and shit?
No, in theory, that's just trans women that she made up in her head.
That's so diabolical.
Right. Now get this live, laugh, love shit out of my face. Like, yeah. Pride, love, and humor. Okay. It's just vibes. Like I said, there's nothing here. It's just feelings.
Yeah. And she keeps dancing around the ways that cis women do body shame each other and police gender and reinforce beauty standards, especially thin, middle class, white cis women like Jean Hatchett. Like, you know how many fucking mothers give their daughters eating disorders?
Right. Yeah, like, I do, actually.
Yeah.
And have you, like, ever been in front of a mirror or taking photos with a group of, like, white middle-class cis women? Because it is fucking terrible. It was a whole plot point in Mean Girls where, like, there's this whole tradition of just, like, bonding over shitting on your bodies. That's, like, such, like, white women culture. Like, maybe it's different in England. I really doubt it. But it's like that shit was critiqued in Mean Girls. Like, how are you worse at white feminism than, like, Tina Fey?
Oh my god.
Yeah. Notorious Swerf Tina Fey.
That's a great question, Easton. Yeah.
I do wanna specify that, like, you know, women didn't invent misogyny, but, like, we are definitely not exempt from reinforcing it, especially cis women.
Yeah.
Right. The same way that, like, you know, I didn't invent the fucking police, but they serve white people more than they serve people of color. So, like, fucking, I'm still complicit in that system. You know what I mean? Like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, I still have work to do around that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not even, like, you know. Half of my family is fucking, they're still white, but they're immigrants. You know what I mean? So it's like half my family didn't even have anything to do with this fucking place for a while. Like, but I still am complicit in the systems and I still have work to do and I still have a responsibility and accountability to these sorts of things. And that's just kind of the whole deal.
Yeah, but TERFs are completely exempt from body shaming and lateral misogyny and all this fucking bullshit, according to Jean Hatchett. Brilliant mind.
As long as they stick together.
Well, they're all crab walking because they can only make lateral moves.
Yeah, and they're in their secret society, their brunch their meetings.
Trans exclusionary lateral feminists. They should change their whatever their
trans exclusionary crafts.
So, speaking of policing bodies, I think it's time for the clappening.
The clappening.
The clappening.
Who wants to read it?
I'll read it. Only the cis woman has the shared experience of living inside a female body. We know that our breasts move, and that if we lean forward, they often go with us as Rawlings did. If we turn too quickly, they may forget to follow us and linger, joining us a second later, clapping. Or that in bed, when we are lying on our backs, they may seek the mattress like spreading cake dough in the oven.
Wow. I love your laugh, Nikki.
Wow.
Put the fucking cake in a mold, dude. Put the cake in a pan. I know. You just put it wet cake batter.
A lot of people on Twitter pointed this out.
I'm like, oh, it's a big guy. Oh, what is that?
Yeah, and that's batter, not dough.
Cake dough. I guess if it's like a donut.
Yep.
Cake dough.
What?
Oh my god. Oh my god. Okay. So. Whoa. I don't even know what to say about this. This is the most like clownable shit I've ever read in my life.
Oh my god. Yeah. I just.
Okay.
Only the cis women.
Maybe
sentence by sentence.
Okay.
Only the cis woman has the shared experience, another hive mind thing, of living inside a female body.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, fuck you. Fuck you for trying to erase my entire existence and say that I'm not a real woman. And second of all, I would argue that some trans men have felt shades of like feeling like they're in the wrong body for sure. You know what I mean? Like, are trans men excluded from? Like, I don't understand. I don't understand the point.
Right. Well,
I guess that's what I
saying. Think that like perhaps that's a bit too nuanced of a take for Gene Hatchett. If I'm being honest,
I guess you're right.
Okay. Wow. Spreading like cake dough in the oven. Oh my god. Yeah,
I'm not trying to say that. I'm not trying to say that trans men's bodies were once cis female bodies. I'm definitely not trying to say
but
that.
They might have had that experience.
They have a relatable experience at least.
Yeah, like so that means someone with a male body can relate to this experience. Perhaps.
Yeah. Also, we know that our breasts move. I would hope so.
they
if
do.
We could lean forward. Yeah, they often go with us.
Right.
Oh my god.
Wow-wee. Oh my god, I have so many thoughts. I don't even know where to start. I'm flabbergasted by this whole fucking.
I'm floored.
This whole fucking article.
Yeah, you might say that the whole article's gone tits up. Is that that'd be appropriate?
You might say, yeah. All right, so okay, this. Oh my god, it's so hard to even get the words out. It's so fucking ridiculous. So. What I was gonna say is, one, let's just break down the way this is written first. Let's start there.
Yeah.
It's so poetic.
Oh, look. This punctuation in this sentence, we turn too quickly, comma, they may forget us to follow us and linger, comma, joining us a second later, comma. Clapping, period. The clapping is emphasized in a way that is re-fucking-diculous.
As if they're, like, celebrating themselves. They're clapping for themselves. And then...
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just very pleased.
They're chuffed.
With their own tittiness.
Oh my goodness.
If you will. And I hope you will. And then we are lying on our backs. They may seek the mattress like spreading cake dough in the oven. What the fuck are you talking about? Like spreading cake dough in the oven?
Yeah, you fill a cake pan.
Like, first of all, that shit should be settled before you... Yeah. That shit should be settled before you even fucking put it in the oven.
Yeah, I think maybe she's thinking of cookie dough, because, like, they kind of spread if you just do it in a dollop, but...
Yeah, but then it would say biscuit dough.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait, I just realized, does cake mean something else?
I don't think so.
No,
I think it means what you think it means.
Yeah. Okay.
Cake is cake.
I mean, I don't want to like particularly clown this person too much for their lack of knowledge about things that are traditionally considered feminized labor, but I do want to say though that like this is, first of all, this is why we picked this, I think.
Yeah.
Because this is fucking amazing. Like, it's so absurd and self-righteous
like if someone was doing a parody about TERFs, they couldn't have produced something more turfy. genuinely like a parody of what being a TERF is. Like, it's...
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah. It's very, I mean, it is just like...
It's really pulling the bottom brick out.
Yeah, like, Jenga.
Yeah, it's like, how are you supposed to take it... Yeah, Jenga, how are you supposed to take... Obviously, how are you supposed to take any of it seriously as you're reading it? But then you get here and you're like, wow, this really is just like... a rolling fan fiction. Like... You're rolling the dough and the flour. And you're baking a shit cake. I mean, her like idolatry of Rawling.
Right.
As this like bastion of
tittydom.
I mean, has Rawling said that she's a radical feminist? Has she come out and said that?
She's definitely anti-trans and aligns herself with TERFs. I don't know if she's explicitly said she's a radical feminist. I can Google it.
Gotcha.
She's definitely not a proletarian feminist or whatever.
Oh my god, no.
Yeah, it's a whole other thing.
I just... The point of this article is to say, woe is me. Woe is the lowly station we few special people hold. Like, our burden as scions of femininity. And to specifically name trans women as, like, aggressors and violent and erase their identity. Like, that is specifically the mission statement of this article.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
To say, woe is me, trans women aren't women.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Trans men don't even exist, apparently, to this woman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're no threat to her womanhood, I guess.
I know some trans men who would be a fucking threat.
I do, too. But what I was going to say is there's two things this article is trying to do. One is the thing that you said. Two is to write... imagine oneself as the meat in a Rowling titty sandwich.
Oh,
I think that is what this person is doing.
Liverwurst. I think that's the kind of meat it would be.
All right.
This is liverwurst. And I did not mean that to be like a...
I didn't mean it to be like a titty fucking joke.
That's not what I meant. Yeah, I would love it to be a titty fucking joke.
Okay, fine. It's a titty fucking. But it's just like, yeah, it's like you were just imagining yourself between J.K. Rowling's boobs at this fucking cabal secret brunch table of cis women TERFs in the shoe factory, wherever the fuck that was. Like, you know what I mean? Like that is the second thing. So it's like, it's so
this is like
disgusting because of the things that you said, Nikki.
Yeah.
But it's so weird because the other part of it is just like desperately suckling at the teat of Rowlingdom.
Yeah, it's like her cover letter for her application into the club. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
the bench.
Like, yeah, to be a Rowling's footstool.
She wants an interview. Yeah. She wants to be the Ottoman.
Yes. No, it is absurd.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, are there like any people who have like come out and been like, oh yes, this article, yes, you're saying the things that I wish I was saying, like, is there a ton?
Wenchick says she cried.
What?
At what part? I cried laughing? What does that mean?
At what part?
Who knows with TERF? I don't know.
I think she was
probably the same types who like smile with their hearts when they look at brunch selfies.
I mean, I think she was probably laying on her back on the bed and her, it had to be, look, here's what happened. Someone was reading this article, right? She was laying on her back on her bed. And then right as her titty oozed over and touched the bed, she read that line and she just burst into tears. That's what it was. Yeah.
She said, oh, this is about me. I am the victim. I am the woman.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Like, I don't know. To be clear, I'm not saying that titties can't do that. I know that they can. I just mean, like, it's such an absurd.
Yeah.
Like, it's so much fucking hyperbole.
She really tried to make it poetic. Right.
It's just like,
cis white women everywhere sitting on their California King beds with their deep mahogany bed frames on their like fresh out of the factory state-of-the-art iPad are daintily scrolling through this article being like, oh yes, me. And you know, and probably chilling off to it. Like, it literally reads like erotic fiction.
I feel seen.
Because they don't have Hitachis. I'm going to go ahead and say that any of the TERFs referenced in this article, they're not woman enough to use a Hitachi. As someone who uses one almost every day.
Oh, called out.
Yeah.
Called out. Wow. What a fucking article this was.
Heart pumping. Yeah. Genital throbbing.
Titty clapping.
Are y'all ready to get into some tweets?
I'm ready to get into some tweets, baby.
Yeah.
Because the internet did not disappoint.
Tweets. Hell yeah.
Kieran Darkwater on Twitter says, also, took me a min because trans-identified man read to me as trans man, and I was like, no, we are intimately familiar with how tits work. And none of that is how tits work. And then Maya responds, taking screenshots of OP to the
original post.
Taking screenshots of original post to plastic surgeon, like, I'm reliably informed they're supposed to be buoyant and have reverb, and mine just sit there. Please help. I demand fully automated clapping tits. Kieran Darkwater says.
And this other one is by Kyle Plant Emoji. It's breasts with a colon, and then it's, oh shit, with three clapping emojis.
That one's amazing. Right, but like, but that I want to say that that tweet highlights this sort of absurdity, like what she's describing there is like, yes, titties can slap together, but like the way that she describes it is just like this,
it's a universal experience,
hyper idealized idea. It's like when things get sensationalized. It's a sensationalized fantasy, right? It's this sense to be like, again, a moving goalpost, right? So it's like, if you are a cis woman and your titties don't clap like that, guess what? Sorry, but you're no longer part of the club. You don't get to be a cis woman anymore. You don't talk.
Sorry.
Don't at me, though. Talk to Gene Hatchett about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I shared another one.
Oh, my God. Hannah Jocelyn says, two thoughts went through my head. One, the irony that GCs write women like men write women.
Mm-hmm.
Two, boob clap, the sound of my heart.
Boob clap, sound of my heart. Charlie XCX voice.
What does GC mean?
Oh, GC stands for gender critical, which is their word for TERF, because they don't like being called a TERF. But now Gene Hatchett says that GC is a slur, even though it's their own fucking word.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gender critical too, bitch. I'm critical of fucking shady cis people.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yes.
This is the tweet that the tweet is quoting. It says, what the actual fuck is the shared experience of living inside a female body? I live in a house, Gene. Also, my breasts tend to stay attached to my body rather than if we turn too quickly, they may forget to follow us and linger, joining us a second later and clapping.
I live in a house, Gene.
Yeah, Gene's idea of the human body is fucking Rayman. Like,
right.
I don't understand. Right. What
like
the
just
hell?
Disembodied titties, like, floating around.
In the vein of like writing like men write women.
Okay. Bernetta on Twitter says, breaking, transphobic cis women write women as poorly as men write women. I'm almost 40 and my boobs have never applauded me or ran the opposite direction when I leaned forward. P.S. If I opened a hashtag novel and saw a description like this, I'd close it immediately and seek a refund.
And there's one more.
Yes, the kind of deep physiological insights that only a woman or that guy who ran the Does This Actress Have Implants website in 1998 would have.
Yeah, but this is shit only women could know. Titties clapping is like intimate, like woman only shit.
That's a really funny tweet.
Like,
yeah.
I'd say I have like B going on C cups or whatever. They definitely don't clap.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't remember the picture I saw of Gene. I keep wanting to say Gene Hackman. Gene Hatchett. The pictures I saw of Gene Hatchett, I mean, it didn't look like it looked like she had like pretty average. You know what I mean? I don't want to like generalize too much, but they didn't seem like
the clapping type.
Large enough to ooze. Like, I don't know.
Who knows? I'm not sure what kind of titties do clap.
They didn't seem like they could have been a character in.
Yeah.
In TMNT, Return of the Ooze or whatever.
Secret of the Ooze, I believe is what it's called.
Secret of the Ooze, yeah.
I do think it's ironic how she talks about how, like, everyone else's commentary about titties is, like, overly sexual and hers is wholesome. But I was thinking, at first I was thinking, like, my titties have never clapped before. But I realized, yes, they have, literally only during sex. I'm very sorry for, like, leaking the secret, like, titty clapping shit to the world. And then I also realized the only time that I've heard of titties clapping is literally in porn. Like, I'm pretty sure I've seen multiple porn GIFs of, like, titties clapping together. Like, what?
Right.
But this is a secret world that men never know about, especially not porn watching men.
The dreaded porn.
60 FPS, you know, baby.
I can't get my titties to clap, but I have to jump up and down so they slap against like my body. Like, I don't like it's not like practical
to get smack against my tummy.
Yeah, exactly. I can do that, but I have to like vigorously throw myself at the ground.
Yeah. It only works for me in doggy style.
Also, something I forgot to mention earlier is that I had a juvenile fiber, I don't know, I'm going to remove from my left breast, so I have, like, a big scar, like, around my nipple and stuff, and, like, my left breast looks different than my right breast, and to suggest that my body is broken because of that is, like, just horrifying. I forgot to say that earlier.
Yeah.
Right. Well, like, our mother is a breast cancer survivor and had to have a total mastectomy. Mm-hmm. Like, does that mean that our mother is broken? And, like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Don't talk about my mom.
Gene? Like, actually, like, don't talk about my fucking mom like that. Like what? Like, honestly, like, don't shut the fuck up. That's what I want to say to Gene.
Yeah, that's like the ableism in like defining people by body parts. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
Yep. I love that because right. So like we're always trying to talk about the broader connections here, right? Like the bigger picture mm-hmm. on top of like that's like underneath all this like absurd titty clapping. And that's such a good point. Like defining people by their body parts. Whether you're trans or not is ableist, is fucked up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It creates a hierarchy of like what is an acceptable, useful, productive body versus like what is not. And the reality is like there's no body that you could have that mm-hmm. is wrong or bad.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, capitalism has definitely created a situation where your worth is like connected to how able your body is, and it's fucked up. It's so fucked up. Yeah, mm-hmm. like at its core, society is ableist. Like at its rotting, festering, maggot-filled core, in America at least.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely. I also want to touch on her like whole thing with like. There's unfair standards for titties that are all about porn. And let me tell you about real titties that have nothing to do with porn, even though clapping titties are very big in porn. But I think she's also trying to imply that, like, porn only features, like, perky titties and there is no market for longer titties or titties that swing more when that's, like, not fucking true at all. There's all kind of titties. And, like, it's like, oh, straight men only want a certain kind of titties when like you said, Weston, like straight men just like want titties mm-hmm. in general. And like, ironically, like I work in the porn industry and two different guys I've worked with have said specifically that they are into like saggy titties and have both said specifically, I would look way hotter after I had kids.
Oh my God.
And I thought that shit was creepy as fuck. I did not appreciate it, but I guess TERFs would find that endearing or something. Cause that's how they fucking talk about people.
Yeah,
that's
a really fucked up thing to say to you, but also like, yeah, that sounds right up Gene's alley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such weirdo shit.
Maybe Gene should get into porn, you know?
Yeah. Gene hatched it.
And I also like I've been doing fucking online adult entertainment off and on for like 9 years. I have dealt with so many porn obsessed men. I guarantee you at a minimum two different porn obsessed men jerked off to this very passage. Like, there's no way they didn't.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense
to the shock of no one, I guess, but except for maybe Gene Hatchett.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, if she's not thinking, if she did not think that through, then like I don't know, dude. I guess she's not thinking a lot of it through. She's not playing 4D chess for sure.
Or this is all just calculated bullshit. But you know, like with the New York Times op-ed, it was like mm-mm. Once you realized it was sort of like more the New York Times and less the author, although, like I said, that author is still very complicit in it. Once you realized it was more the New York Times and less that author, you started to see really what was, and through Easton's lovely research, you started to see what was omitted, what was on purpose, right? How they calculated the emotional impact of the article versus like the substance of the article and what the point of it was and how they knew that was going to shake out, right? Having the response op-ed probably drafted up ahead of time, like all this kind of stuff. So it could be the case that Gene Hatchett is not a critical thinker and is literally just sitting around in a fantasy world, where she dreams of being the meat in a J.K. Rowling titty sandwich, or It could be that, like, Jean Hatchett kind of knows exactly what she's doing and is just peddling lies to further her agenda so that she can be part of this club, like,
or her career.
It's very, possible it could be either one. I tend to lean towards it's probably a little bit of both, but I think it's definitely leaning towards the latter.
We'll call him A. We'll call
him B. More call him B, I think.
Yeah.
I agree.
B for boobs.
The B stands for boobs.
I posted another funny tweet in the chat.
All right. Our breasts follow us. They linger, pair upon pair of them, silent except for the sound of flesh slapping against flesh, watching us with judgment in their dark, deadened areola eyes. That was Gwen C. Katz on Twitter.
What the fuck?
That's really funny. But that's what this shit sounds like.
Amazing.
Deadened areola eyes.
Speaking of, like, weird fan fiction, have y'all heard of that, like, joke about the way men write about women, like, breasting boobily?
What?
Okay, I'm gonna put it in the chat.
Male writers writing female characters. Cassandra woke up to the rays of the sun streaming through the slats of her blinds, cascading over her naked chest. She stretched, her breasts lifting with her arms as she greeted the sun. She rolled out of bed and put on a shirt, her nipples prominently showing through the thin fabric. She breasted boobily to the stairs and titted downwards.
A lot of people pointed out how that sounds kind of like the same shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's too much about titties.
She breasted boobily to the stairs. I mean, this goes back to what we were saying about how, like, a lot of this ideology, a lot of TERF ideology, is wrapped up in internalized misogyny, and it is really just reflecting and propping up not only, like, evangelical narratives, which is something we haven't touched on, but just occurred to me that that's a very scary thing to perpetuate, which is often part and parcel, if not directly at the center of a lot of violence and death and the trans women face. Or get enacted upon them. It is only serving, I think this is to weaken the material conditions of women in the world under the guise of, I guess, protecting what it means to be a woman. But, right, that's gatekeeping, that's bullshit. But it's just such... I mean, it's utter shit, but it's so heartbreaking to see this kind of stuff being, like, spewed out into the world, because it's like, you know, the misogynists of the world are just like, thumbs up, Gene, keep going. You know, this is great. This is great shit. You know, the fucking Nazis of the world are like, this is great shit. Keep going. You know what I mean? Like,
yes. I also saw on Twitter, there were literally TERFs who were upset with misogynists who were shitting on trans women, like, fucking misogynist, white nationalists, like, far right, shitty men, saying they should be giving us credit for benefiting from our analysis of why we hate trans women. Like, fuck you. Like, don't call your shit feminist if you're like... if your mission is for, like, misogynists to credit you for helping them be misogynists, fuck you.
What? That's fucking absurd.
Some cyberpunk dystopian hellscape shit.
I'll read it. She says, this is so fucking annoying. Matt Walsh, Bill Maher, Chris Rufo, etc. bathe in praise while the women who've been fighting this for years are harassed, ignored, and cast out of their own communities. Every one of these guys owes a debt to feminists, detransitioners, and others who have been speaking out at no small cost to themselves. Let's see if they ever acknowledge that.
Wow.
They're fighting the good fight. They're giving ammo to fucking misogynists. Amazing.
The mental gymnastics that's fucking needed for that shit.
The existence of people who have detransitioned means nothing. in the way of, like, discrediting or disproving the existence of trans people. There's like, a certain amount of the population that's trans. There's an even smaller, minuscule, micro part of the population that has detransitioned. Like, I just hate that shit. That people use it. Like, if your personal journey includes detransitioning, that is all up to you. But it just makes me sick that people use that to say that it isn't real. Yeah.
I saw someone make the great point that, like, gender confirmation surgeries have, like, a super small regret rate. There is, like, a percentage you regret, but compared to other cosmetic surgeries, it's, like, fucking minuscule. So, like, to focus on that shit, like, fuck you. It's not genuine.
It's not genuine.
No, it's not. It's not.
Just twisting the data. It's just using data to say whatever you want.
Yeah. Yeah, confirmation bias.
Which is
shocking. They never do that.
Our new truth, the condition of truth as it is in the 21st century.
Yeah, it is bullshit. I hate it.
No, I don't like it.
I don't like it one bit.
I don't like it and I hate it.
I hate it. I don't like it one bit.
I guess to get lighter again, I post another funny tweet in the chat.
Oh, I'm all over this. Katarina Cat on Twitter says, I walked breastily into the room, my knockers trailing behind me in the breeze. They had forgotten their place. I snapped my fingers to reassert my dominance and they zoomed back into position, breaking several antique vases on the way. I'm no longer allowed to visit the Louvre.
It's like Tom and Jerry shit. I love it.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
Amazing. Katarina Cat.
It's a great tweet.
And then there's another one that says, fuck, are they not supposed to hover around us, circling our bodies and intercepting physical attacks? I love that image.
It's like,
those are the titties I
it's
want.
It's like it's like Binding of Isaac.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
There's stuff that, yeah, there's literally like a meat cube that floats around you.
Oh, this one's by Mandala Rose from Twitter says, she X chromosomed biologically down the stairs.
Ignatz says, I have no idea what this means, but like spreading cake dough in the oven is kind of turning me on.
Yeah. Sally Hines also said, is this a pitch to Playboy? Right.
Ann Coates on Twitter says, and then everybody's boobs clapped.
Questy at the far horizon says, these are certainly words arranged in some kind of order. Nicole is neither. I can't read the whole name. At dead something.
You know that thing where cis male authors describe a woman's body and it's so terrible? And we all laugh like, Jesus, only a man could write something so ridiculous and awful. I'd like to apologize to the men because today I've been proven wrong.
This person says, apparently, original poster has the shared experience of living in Wile E. Coyote's body.
Yep.
And then another person says, I want my boobs back.
I want my money back.
My money back. I want my money back. I'm sorry. My boobs never once clapped for me.
I want my boobs back, all right? I want my fucking boobs back.
My fucking boobs back.
There's another one where Brexit Festival says, have you tried sprinting away with no warning to see if they have to chase after you like in a cartoon? And Lori Lane Rodriguez says, this is a trick question. Running causes them to rise up and attack each step.
Oh, Susie something on Twitter says, don't linger, left tit murmured ravishingly at her most tender bosom buddy. Oh, right tit, will you not join me? Then they clapped lovingly in a way no man could comprehend with his booblessness. Fuck me, I feel sick having written that. It's amazing.
Someone submit this to r/menwritingwomen. That totally scans. Gilly says, that must be what happened to mine. They just forgot to follow me.
And then Fiffle replies, I mean, maybe if everyone's breasts followed behind them, applauded at every step, they'd all end up being as arrogant and self-involved as the average TERF, if not careful.
I like that one. This one's less funny, but on point. But the Slough House says, moving swiftly from science and biology to metaphysics and existentialism, which is like,
right.
Yeah.
No, it is true. Like, there's no science to this. There's no facts to this.
Yeah.
It's not based in reality.
Smiling with your heart.
It, I mean, it's all smiling with your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a lot of existentialism is about like personal responsibility. And they're taking a nap. Okay, Fort Wayne something says, inverted nipples are technically wormholes through time-space, but the TERFs will never. It's a conspiracy. They're trying to cover it up.
Noah at CoolReader18 says, Colonel, I'm trying to sneak around, but I'm dummy female, and the clap of my titties keeps alerting the guards.
Demon Spider says, they make breasts sound like a horror show. Like, they're like, all right, I'll come too, but I don't wanna. Neither do I. Ugh. Though, if I were boobs attached to a TERF, I'd pack a hanky and stick and run away. I don't know
what the- Bored Ape Cola says, if you don't have big flappy titties that defy the laws of physics like an anime, then you're not a real woman.
Hero Stratus says, women with small breasts and women who can't have kids aren't women, I guess.
Right.
And there's a bunch of them that are like, this sounds like bad men writing women. It really does. Mm-hmm. It truly does. It's dripping fan fiction. There's like that, there's like that notoriously bad Harry Potter fan fiction where like all the characters are goth. Like the main characters like dating Draco Malfoy or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just like that. It's just like that.
Amazing.
What is splinching?
Splinching?
I don't totally remember. I think it has to do with teleportation in the Harry Potter universe.
Okay. The first one says, Shy says go greet something. Says, often? Where do they go when they don't? And Mandala Rose replies, maybe this is where Rowling got the idea for splinching? I don't know. And then Darkly Die says, no clipping through the rib cage. Like, no clipping is like clipping is like a video game thing where you can like clip through walls to like, get out of bounds.
Oh, I didn't know that. Thank you for the explanation.
Okay, Bramble says, when she leaned forward, her breasts went with her normally, but not today. The tissue stayed in place even as she moved, her ribs slicing through its immovable mass. The breast tissue and blood displaced her lungs. She died suffocating, her breasts in her chest. Hell of a way to go, said the detective, surveying the scene. She chewed on the end of her pencil. A hell of a way to go, but not the first like this she'd found. Not at all. But when your number is up, your tits don't move. There's not a lot you can do about it.
But when your number is up and your tits don't move, there's not a lot you can do about it. That's funny.
I, in the spirit of this sounding like men writing women, I want to see if y'all can spot the difference with this next passage.
Oh I love this game. I love this game already.
Okay.
Eliza and Ezra rolled together into the one giggling snowball of full-figured copulation, screaming and shouting as they playfully bit and pulled at each other in a dangerous and clamorous roller coaster coil of sexually violent rotation, while Eliza's breasts barrel rolled across Ezra's howling mouth and the painted frenzy of his bulbous salutation extenuating his excitement as it smacked its way into every muscle of Eliza's body except for the otherwise central zone. Get the fuck out of here.
What the fuck? What the fuck?
Apparently that was written by Morrissey.
Really?
Yeah, I don't listen to his music, so, but yeah.
Gross.
What the hell? Really? What the fuck?
Oh my god.
I was not expecting that.
But in the spirit of like strange breast physics.
I live in the middle of this. Just Peppy comes in and says, do a barrel roll. Cosmic Jasmine on Twitter says, it's just because TERFs share their basic view of womanhood with misogynistic men.
Yep. Done. Done and fucking dusted, dude. Yeah, that's
wrapped it up. Yep. Tied in a bow.
Yep. I just want to recap. According to TERFs, men do not perceive smiles. They have strong opinions about titties. They love porn. They're more attracted to trans women than cis women. They do not like long swinging titties. They have no idea about periods or menopause or orgasms or body hair. And they are the real allies to the trans community, the cishet ones. TERF definition of women includes you gotta be transphobic. You gotta have no negative opinions about titties. No cosmetic surgery ever. When you see photos of TERFs, you smile, you enjoy it with your hearts. You hide periods and menopause and orgasms and body hair from men at all costs, but you talk about it all the time with other women and you gotta crack up every time you talk about it. You only ever talk about your body with pride and love and humor, and you got clapping titties.
Long list.
Tough standards, ladies. Good luck.
Oh, man, I'm fucked.
Yeah, and apparently I'm not even a woman, so.
Is anyone?
Oh, right, yeah. Exactly.
Is this a real person? I doubt it.
I don't.
I don't want to close out with, like, to watch a video together. Apparently, there is a precedent for clapping titties, even though I'd never quite heard of this phenomenon spelled out specifically. And apparently, it is a British thing. So we will see.
It's a British thing.
What's going on here?
It's a British thing, huh?
Oh, that explains everything. It's a British thing. I'm
so excited for this. A whole 240p. Let's do this.
Yeah.
She's sitting on the edge of the bed. She's freaking out.
I know we're just friends, but so awkward sharing a bed. Right. Now, the question is, do I take my bra off? Because then, in the morning, there'll be two jellies sliding down a plate. Look, that's the only trouble. No, I better put my bra on. No, but then he'll see me wearing a bra in bed, and that would look odd. No, I'm going no bra. And let's hope when I turn over, I don't do the breast clap.
She's, like, taking off her bra under the covers, and she, like, throws it out. And he comes and he finds it. They're getting in this, like, pull-out couch together.
Night.
And he sets it off to the side, and... You know, it's all will they, won't they kind of thing. And then she turns over and the titties clap together.
What was that?
It was a duck quacking.
A duck?
Quacking, yeah.
I mean, I don't think it was very funny.
Oh, really? I liked it.
Also, that's... Really? I was just like, when the guy...
I liked parts of it.
When the guy's, like, over the top of the girl, the crowd's like, ooh, that was really obnoxious. And also, I don't know. British humor gets on my nerves sometimes, especially, like,
that's fair.
Early 2000s British humor.
Yeah, but,
for the list. I guess that proves it. I guess Gene was right. We gotta pack it up, y'all. Sorry. Yeah. This whole episode was for nothing. Gene was right.
You know, everyone knows the sound of two ducks quacking. But what's the sound of one duck quacking?
Right. If a duck quacks in the boobs, does anyone hear it?
Yep. Important questions of our day.
Important questions. So is this a thing, a British thing, the titty clapping?
I guess. I was just shocked to hear anyone else reference this as a thing, like a thing. And my only guess is that is what Turf Island does to your titties.
Cringetopia.
That is the tale of the titty clapping turf. Do y'all want to share any takeaways, things you learned, and or mic drop hot takes?
Gene Hatchett should be persona non grata. I don't know, dude. I just the fucking balls on these TERFs.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, just the blatant, wild, contradictory, not consistent bullshit that they're slinging is like, how could anyone not see how obvious it is? But I guess the dangerous part is that for some people, it isn't obvious, and it is an ideology that it's like how a cult works. It just gets in there and it like
molds your mind a little, and it's very scary.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I agree. So what I want to highlight here is, like, one of the reasons why I enjoy what we're doing is, like, this article is an example of, like, as much hateful bullshit as you can cram into one place. Mm-hmm. It is absurd, hyperbolic, mm-hmm. examples of this kind of stuff. It is the worst of the worst when it comes to transphobia. Mm-hmm. I guess relative to, like, relatively, but it is like a very egregious, over the top, very transparent example of it. But this kind of stuff is scattered in bits and pieces throughout the way that we talk, throughout the way that we interact, mm-hmm. throughout the things that we're taught when we're younger, throughout the way that we're brought up to see the world. And so, like, I think what's kind of what I want people to take away from this is, like, read an article like this, or when you read an article like this, take note of not just the blatant, horrible, fucked up, or absurd things, but all the little ways mm-hmm. that it's weaved in, and how that reflects, like, your concept of the world and what you've been taught. And so mm-hmm. when you look at an example like this of something that's, like, egregious and over the top and all that, when you do your analysis of it, when you think critically about it, use that extreme example, take it down into its pieces, and understand how those pieces find its way into your life and the way that you've been taught to think about things, and maybe the things that you haven't quite unlearned yet, or the things you're still working on. Like, I think that that is sort of, like, a really good way to take something that is as morally, academically bankrupt as this article, and as absurd and fucked up as this article is, it's a way that maybe we can get a little bit of good out of this mm-hmm. is by using it as a tool for self-reflection in that way. So that's sort of what I want to send off on.
Very good point. That's very true. Like, yeah, we're definitely taught a lot of these misconceptions through society. You got to work on that shit, especially to my fellow cis people. You got to work on it.
Yeah, y'all get your shit together.
Got to do better. I'm giving you a stern look right now, people.
She's giving a very stern look with lovely wings and eyeshadow. Yeah.
So, this has all been ridiculous. And we're exaggerating a little, being a little tongue-in-cheek. I don't know if Jean Hatchett even realizes she's drawing a line around womanhood based on titty claps, but I think it's still worth taking seriously because TERFs do end up materially gatekeeping womanhood and community and resources around traits that are just as arbitrary. For example, there is a
safety resource
for sex workers, supposedly also for dating, maybe. They try to be quote-unquote female only, and they verify femaleness by having you sing happy birthday on the phone. All singing nerds know that that's a terrible, unflattering song, so I took it down an octave to sound less terrible like I always do. They decided that my voice is too deep, so I can't be female, and I'm banned. Fucking arbitrary. And this one isn't just about clout or ideology or pure opinions. It's a safety resource meant to prevent gender-based misogynistic violence. We've established that this is important for trans women, especially. And TERFs are gatekeeping safety over shit like what octave you sing a song in. All women deserve safety, trans and cis, sopranos and tenors, clapping titties and silent ones. That's got me mad. Weston, what are you mad about?
Thank you for asking. Well, one, I'm pissed that candy in this country sucks. But really, I was using a Meta app the other day, and I got frustrated that it was, like, really bad, which reminded me that they don't have to make these things good because they're often, like, the only game in town. Free market capitalists swear up and down that here in the United States, our economic system is about competition. This is bullshit on so many levels, but I want to talk quickly about two. One, competition is only good for competitive games where competition is the point.
Systems that are supposed to provide resources to people should have nothing to do with competition. Fucking nothing actually gets done through competition. Literally everything that's worth anything gets done in collaboration, be it on a large or small scale, personal or public. The only thing capitalist competition leads to is corporate pearl clutching of IP and wealth hoarding. Even thinking conceptually about any person's life, everyone has had the help and support of someone. So competition as a motivating factor for progress is just morally bankrupt and empty rhetoric that only serves to further the anti-collectivist narrative that is this country's live, laugh, love. The second is that competition isn't even their game in the first place. They're fucking liars, because every company over a certain size has only one goal, and that is consolidation. These companies just buy out or force out smaller players in their markets until they're the only ones left, which is the opposite of competition. They are playing a rigged game, and still people pretend that this game is a game worth playing. Ivy, what are you mad about?
I am mad about a lot of stuff. My partner recently got me a Switch for my birthday, which is fucking amazing. God bless them, they're amazing. But I realized that Nintendo's not the only company that does this, but Nintendo specifically, their like retro gaming library is half locked behind some kind of paywall, and well, all of it is locked behind some kind of paywall. So if you wanted to play like NES games and SNES games, which are like 30 and 40 years old now, you have to pay like a monthly thing. And if you want to play Nintendo 64 games, you have to pay like a yearly thing that's like way more expensive. And the emulation isn't even that good. And there's people doing professional grade or better work for free as a passion project to re-emulate stuff, to emulate stuff. And I just think that it's fucking gross and predatory that a lot of companies do this, and that they're so irresponsible with preserving their like legacy games, which are frankly really wonderful and I enjoy them a lot. I also hate toxic cis dude streamers that just get away with saying the most aggressive and obscene and like traumatic shit. I was like chagrining and like scowling like so hard the other day when I popped into this dude's stream who's playing like Multiverses, which is also another disgusting cash grab of people trying to manipulate video games into getting more money. But it also reminds me that on YouTube and on Twitch and a lot of different platforms like that, that they prioritize, I assume on purpose, although I don't think anybody would admit that, but they prioritize white supremacists and far-right radicals, while honest creators and small leftist creators are like faced with a deluge of copyright claims that stop them from making money or collecting mutual aid or anything. I know some creators who all the money, all the revenue that they get from their stream or their YouTube channels goes into mutual aid, and that just their broken system gets in the way of that. I also hate charter schools. I think they're stealing, a majority of them are stealing education away from children. And I also hate the fact that I have had Teenage Dirtbag stuck in my head for 2 weeks.
Yeah, sounds frustrating. And with that, y'all, we wrap up the tale of J.K. Rowling and the titty clapping turf. Stay tuned for our next series, where we will have another super special guest.
Yeah, you've been a great guest. Thank you so much, Nikki, for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me so much.
It's been such a delight to finally get to collaborate on something like this with you, have you here, take down these turfs.
Take them down.
It's just been, I'm chuffed to bits, you know.
Yeah. Drag their disembodied right through the mud.
So watch out for the backswing. Okay.
Thank you so much for listening. If you're enjoying this so far, please like, rate, review, share, and follow wherever you listen. It really, really helps us. And well, that would just be aces.
You may have heard that we've unlocked ads. Thank you so much for listening and helping us get there. We want to keep growing, and word of mouth really helps. If you know anyone who might enjoy this podcast, send them a link to the show.
Also, just as a quick side note, I was looking at our, just in case you're wondering, like, oh, I wonder how much they're making on ads or whatever. I looked at our money page today, and we've made a total of 76 cents on advertising or something like that. So, you know.
Oh, shit. 76 cents. It's exciting.
I know. A little bit at a time. All right, y'all. If you think we're cute and you have the extra cash, we've got our PayPal in the show notes. Any amount is enough. And for everyone who donates, we will poop someone else's pants.
Follow us on our socials at MadAboutPod on Twitter and TikTok and at WayMatPod on Instagram. If you see some outrageous takes out there on the interwebs, tag us. We might end up dissecting it.
Ivy, where can people hear more of your wonderful Werner Herzog impressions?
Well, you can find me streaming on Twitch, which I'm about to do after this. twitch.tv/alliteraltranswoman. It's all one word. And you can also follow me on Twitter @literaltrans and on Instagram @dump_gf_666. That's @dumpgirlfriend666. Thank you very much. And that's what we're mad about today.
All right, remember everyone, use a cake pan,
suck a titty,
and stay angry.
Everybody clap your tits. Can you,
Only the cis women has the shared experience of living inside the female body. We know that our breasts move and that if we lean forward, they often go with us as Rowling's did. If we turn too quickly, they may forget to follow us and linger, joining us a second later, clapping. Or that in bed, when we are laying on our backs, they may seek the mattress like spreading cake dough in the oven.
That's so absurd! Hey, listen.